Hello and welcome to Out in the Bay, our weekly show about gay life from San Francisco. I'm Marilyn Pittman. Being an openly gay comic is now easier than it used to be, at least here in the Bay Area. But it's still not quite as mainstream as you might think, given the current mood of acceptance of gays. Do comedy clubs in the Deep South or North Dakota or Virginia have openly gay headliners or even openers? I'm not trying to pick on those states, but I do know there are disparities in equality from state to state. Laws don't necessarily change bias. So what kind of room is there for a black gay comic? And one who's female? Well, let's see. Wanda Sykes, she finally came out. So there's one that's actually famous, but she was rich and famous before she came out. So it's not like she works the club scene hoping to get booked. Then there's the gay circuit. Lots of opportunities to work, but you won't get famous or rich doing it. Lesbian cruises, the boat kind. White parties for men, not just for white men. And pride festivals. My guest is one of the funniest young comics working in the Bay Area today. And yes, she happens to be out, black, and female. Corinda Dobbins, welcome to Out in the Bay.
Thank you for having me.
It's good to see you. I'm so proud of you. You opened for Kamau Bell here at StageWorks a couple of weeks ago in the city. I performed with you myself at Harvey's, which is at the corner of 18th and Castro in San Francisco for their Tuesday night gay comedy night. And I watched all kinds of videos of you on YouTube today and watched your set at the Purple Onion. And you are out, but it isn't your shtick to talk only about that. You talk about a lot of different things. You talk about your teenage daughter. You talk about racism and race as it comes up. You talk about your family. Hilarious.
Absolutely.
And we're going to hear some clips of that tonight during the show.
Great.
And it'll just be fun to share you with the audience. That's what I think.
I'm looking forward to hanging out with you.
It's going to be fun. And I mean, you have such a gentle, warm manner on stage. And it's who you are.
Right.
But you're also, the material itself has some edge.
Yes.
But it's not like you're, you know, off-putting to us. We like your persona.
Thank you. We enjoy
just hanging out with you.
I appreciate that.
And you know what else is I watched, which I was very impressed with, is this Nick Mom. NickMom.com is Nickelodeon's thing. It's about to come out right on TV, but it's already online. Is that right?
Well, it aired a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really excited about that. And now it's online. You can go to NickMom.com.
NickMom.com, Corinda Dobbins.
Coast to Coast.
Check it out.
One.
It's very good. And your set is all about being a mom.
Yes.
Because it's hilarious to be a mom, apparently.
It definitely gives me a lot of material.
It does. Now, is your daughter, what does she think of all that? She like being made fun of?
Not so much.
you know, that's too bad. I'm paying the bills.
But what I tell her is that it's much easier. Her life is much easier because I get to vent on stage.
You get to vent on stage, I see.
Absolutely.
And so because I'm releasing the shadow, what Jung calls the shadow side on stage, I'm a nicer person.
I'm a nicer person, and I'm a nicer mom.
Do you think that's true? Is that true for your experience?
Absolutely, it's true, I think.
And what does she say to that?
She's like, where's my cut?
Where's my cut?
I said, your cut is...
I'm a single
your
mother.
Your bills are paid. You know, you have clothes on your back. You know, you have a BART card. You have, you know, your hair's done.
I mean, in the Nick Mom piece, you're doing this hilarious thing about the Facebook and how she, what happened? She defriended you.
Yeah, I made a comment on Facebook. One of her friends had said something, and then I responded to it, and I said, why are you letting this girl talk to you like that? That's not the way you were raised. And then she unfriended me. And then
you wrote
I told
show.
Her, yeah, I said, you know, you got rid of me. You have 200 friends, but I'm the one who's paying for your access to all the rest of these people. Like,
yeah, you got rid of the one who's paying for you to have the other 199.
Exactly. Like, you needed to think that through before you made that move. That wasn't smart.
So she friended you back?
No, she didn't. But she didn't have a phone for a while to have access to Facebook. It took me a while to get over that. I was bitter.
There are ways.
I'm like, if I'm not your friend, no one's your friend, is what I'm saying to you. You're going to have to find other ways.
Does she think you're a strict mom?
In some regards. She knows that in some ways I'm strict. In other ways, I'm kind of loosey-goosey. So.
Mm-hmm. And so you get along with her pretty good, right? You're a single mother. It's just the two of you, right? You don't have a partner.
I'm not really a single mom in terms of raising her. Her dad lives in Michigan. I've been
out
here for 7 years. Yeah, we were never married, so I guess in those terms I'm a single mom, but I never raised her alone. So there's a little, you know.
And you have family, a little bit of family here and family back in Detroit.
And I do have family in both places. And you know.
Is she a pretty good kid? You've done a good job? She's 19 now.
Yeah, she's a great kid. She's in college now, full-time student. She just got a job today. So this is a really exciting moment for me as a mom. You know, there's an extra paycheck coming in.
What's she going to do? What's her job?
She's going to work at a spa, which as a first job, right? Like my first job was working in McDonald's, I think, or Burger King or one of those.
I was a fry cook. Yeah.
Getting like grease popped on your fingers like all day wasn't sexy.
No.
But she's working at a spa, which is such a step up from everything I did as a teenager.
So... Well, isn't that the way it is with generations? We hope they get better. We hope that's what we do.
That is true.
We pave the way, and everybody gets to move up, and we all evolve. They'll help each other.
That's true.
Now, you do this bit on stage. We're going to play this clip about the N-word, and I wanted to hear this. This is from a show you did at the legendary Purple Onion in North Beach in San Francisco before it closed last year. And I thought we'd start just letting the audience get acquainted with you on stage. So let's hear that.
How y'all doing? I was about to bust a move for you guys, but y'all ain't pay for that. That's extra. That's extra. Y'all look good. Y'all look good. Man, North Beach ain't seen this many black people since never. Oh, white people want to be gangster rappers. So Dr. Laura want to know why white people can't say the N-word. It's like comics say it, rappers say it. Well, you know what? You can't say it. Anybody can say it, but here's the rule. Got to be at least 10 black people in the room when you say it. And if you can get out of there with all your teeth and your extremities and without a foot up your ass, then welcome to the motherland. You made it. Don't be trying to whisper to your white friends, neither. Say it out loud.
Provocative, and yet it's charming the way you present the idea, right?
Yeah, I came up with that joke because in the Bay Area, and I'm not used to this because I'm from Detroit, like a lot of people use the N-word out here just sort of out like it's like you're saying, you know, I'm eating snacks or something.
Black people, you mean?
No, not black people.
White people use the N-word to you?
No, not white people to me. Just like different ethnicities. I've heard like Asian people use it, Latino people use it. And
what we usually think of the Bay Area being so politically correct.
Yeah, and it was kind of taken aback. And sort of that joke sort of came out of my experiences. And sort of we had a lot of stuff at that time with the N-word. It was like Charlie Sheen and Dr. Laura and a lot of these people pondering why white people can't use it. And, you know, the thing is, it's
ignorant of them to not know that, don't you think?
It's very ignorant. It's also sort of a power play, and they always sort of flip it like, oh, black people use it. It's sort of not right that we can't use it. And I'm like, really? Like, do you really want to...
If I could make a comparison, Corinda, Corinda Dobbins is my guest here on Out in the Bay. I'm Marilyn Pittman. If I could make a comparison, we took back the word queer in the gay rights movement, and we took back the word dyke. And those are, and fag even, those are very pejorative terms when used by non-gay people. And there are perhaps a few people who are not gay who could use those words. Like I probably have maybe one or two friends who are heterosexual who might say something, call me a dyke. But in general, you just don't do that.
Right.
The N-word is even more loaded than that. It has much more history and much more power and much more gravitas to it than even those words. And so it just doesn't make any sense that they think they should have to have that word to say.
Yeah, just one more thing that they want to have. It's like you have the world. And you absolutely want to have that too. And the other thing is that usually when white people say the N-word, there's no black people around. And so that was really the point of that joke. It's like if you really want to say it,
I love that joke.
Like you say it when we're there, like not when we're not there. Because all the people who say they want to say it, that means they want to say it to other white people.
Pretty much.
They never want to say it when black people are around. Like, that's...
I mean, maybe Quentin Tarantino is, you know, he thinks he should say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's another story, yeah.
Now, your family, let's go to your family. You say that they're into the Nation of Islam. You kind of grew up in this, but not all the way in. You've said, you know, that we split the difference. And I just wanted you to explain to the audience what you mean by split the difference.
It's kind of one of those things where you want to be in something, but you don't want to be strictly adherence to all the rules. You know, because if you're all the way in the Nation of Islam, there's a certain dress code that you have to adhere to. And being a Muslim and all of that stuff. So it's like my family, they still wanted to be stylish, but they also wanted to be in the movement, like the revolution and all that stuff. And so that's why we kind of split the difference. It's like, yes, I'm willing to die for black people, but I'm not going to change my wardrobe. Like, I still want to put on lip gloss and makeup and, you know, have my boobs out a little bit. So... So we couldn't do it all the way. We just did, you know, half and half.
You're listening to Out of the Bay. I'm Marilyn Pittman. My guest is comic Corinda Dobbins. Let's listen to this. This is also from the Purple Onion here on Out of the Bay. This is a good chunk of Corinda's comedy about her job. Tune in.
So, man, I've been seeing you guys for like about 5 minutes, so I feel like I can share this with you. I've been in an abusive relationship for about 5 years with my job. It's kind of like you get your ass beat every day, but there's still food in the fridge and lights still on. You're like, I can't leave. They matching my 401k dollar for dollar. Oh, shit. Mm-mm. I'm going to have to stay another year. Because as a black person, you know, I have to say stuff every day that's not really me. It's not really me at all. I have to say stuff like, if you could just manage your workload a little bit better, you wouldn't feel the need to keep coming to me and asking me for help. But what I really want to say is, if you keep pushing your work off of me, I'm going to drag you out back and beat the brakes off your ass. Can't say that in the corporate setting. Can't say it. You know. And then they torture you and they sit you in meetings and they say stuff like this to you. Corinda, we want you to be a transparent team player who thinks outside the box and comes up with strategic value-added solutions. And I'm like, if you're going to put that many words together, I'm going to need you to make them rhyme, because I grew up on hip-hop, and I'm used to that. Now you just sit in the meeting and bob my head and act like you're a whack rapper or a tight beat. I hate my job, but I love my boss. I have the whitest boss ever. And I love her because when I first started working for I was a temp. And I said, Anna, I want to move into this apartment. This guy's going to call you. Turn on your white voice. And I was in her office when he called. Oh, her voice was white as ever. He called me like 5 minutes later. He said, your boss gave you the greatest recommendation. And you know what that means. You know what that translation is, right? That means you a house Negro for show. A white person giving another white person the highest recommendation, she ain't gonna leave the plantation. She gonna pay all her bills. She ain't gonna give you no problems. And I thank you. And I ain't even had to put down a security deposit. Your voice was so white.
That's Corinda Dobbins, comedian, here on Out in the Bay. I'm Marilyn Pittman, sitting here with Corinda Dobbins, talking about comedy, being a talented African-American out woman comic. All of those things would seem to sort of exclude you, but it turns out we're living in a time, and you're coming into your being as a comic at a time when those labels aren't as important as they once were. They don't prohibit you as much. And probably things are a little more of a meritocracy. If you're funny, you're funny. Do you find that to be true now?
I think so.
Like who you are. If you're funny, people don't care about all that other stuff now.
I think
here
so.
In the Bay Area.
Here in the Bay Area. I think so. And I think also that I have a lot of things where people book me for a certain night. Of course, I'm gay. So I get booked
on the
gay shows, right. and the Pride. And I'm black, so I get booked on the black shows. And
what's it like to
do a woman, so I get booked on the lady
funny
shows.
What's it like to do a black show with other black comics? And are you the only gay? And what's that like?
I think generally I am the only gay person.
I think you probably are
on the black.
Because they don't want to. They could probably tolerate a lesbian more than they could tolerate a black gay man.
Absolutely, I don't know any gay male black comics who are out. I don't know any.
I can name a few that are in.
Oh, really? I've heard of them. I know a few of them nationally, but I have not seen one, and I'm sure the reaction to them would be very different. Well, whereas me, they sort of tolerate me because they like to see two women kissing, and so they'll listen to me for a little bit.
Well, it's not as threatening.
Yeah.
To, you know, I don't know, procreation, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's why it's so not tolerated, the male thing. But so you go back into this piece we just heard, black voice versus white voice, you know. She had her white voice on. It was Richard Pryor who first made fun of white people by doing that white guy's voice in his stand-up. And that was revolutionary at the time. No one had thought to do it and had tried to do it. And it changed consciousness. It just shifted everything. And he paved the way. And then here you are saying she had on her best white voice. I mean, it's just hilarious to make fun of that. Do you find that? Is that why you wanted to bring that up in your act?
Absolutely. Because, you know, one of the things that we know, and I think they sort of did a study on this about housing or something, and they had somebody call in that had a sounded black, and then they had someone call in that sounded white, and there was a very different response to whether the house was still available. You know, just by the voice.
Yes, we all believe this, as you tell us this. Yeah.
And so when I had my boss to do that, who is white, but, you know, she sort of grew up sometimes like around black people. And so she can have the sort of cadence of black people. So that's why I told her, turn on your white voice. Make it the whitest ever.
And yes, she is incredibly talented and completely responsible. You know, like this kind of crisp diction, I think, of Richard Pryor.
Absolutely. And it worked. And like I say in the joke, like I didn't have to put down a security deposit. I didn't have to do anything. She gave me the highest recommendation. So,
well, you've lived here in the Bay Area for 7 years. You come from Detroit. What's your experience of racism here in the gay community or not, and there in Detroit? I mean, how is it different for you, and what kinds of changes have you gone through and growth have you gone through as a person? Because it always informs your comedy, right? Whatever we go through as comics affects our material. It leads us to the material.
Absolutely. And I lived in Detroit, and now I live in Oakland. And I think some of the things are very similar, the racism that I experienced. And in Detroit, it's very insular. I believe Detroit is maybe like 80 or 85% black or something, and all the suburbs are white.
I've noticed, yeah.
Yeah, and sort of Oakland is a little bit different, as in on paper, it's very diverse. But all the Latinos live in one place, and all the Asian people live in one place, and all the black people and all the white people live in Montclair or in the hills. So it's
Piedmont.
It's very, it's racist sort of in a different way. You know, it's not like...
it's segregated, really.
Yeah, it's very segregated. And
whereas Detroit is just black and white.
Yes.
Black downtown, white outside.
Exactly.
Right. Birmingham.
Exactly. So, the racism is sort of, it's very different out here. It's very liberalized, I would say. It's not in your face at all. It's sort of this passive-aggressive racism. Mm-hmm. You know, we always hear about the Bay Area being very liberal, but then it still has the same problems that Detroit has, that Chicago has, that
economic injustice.
Economic injustice.
Thank you.
So it's like, how can you call yourself this ultra-liberal area, and you still have the exact same problems. You know, that's always the question that I have. And I think we're
just going to put a nice little pause there and let everyone just meditate
just
on
think
that.
About it. Yeah.
Listen, I wanted to tell the audience, you can find Corinda Dobbins, my guest here on Out in the Bay, live on stage, man, at Berkeley Arts, downtown Berkeley, April 6th, 2 days away. And she's closing out the show, Ladies Love the Layover, at The Layover. And that's in downtown Oakland. That's April 9th. So April 6th in Berkeley, April 9th in Oakland. And you can find everything you need to know about her on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, YouTube, Corinda, that's Corinda with a K, Corinda Dobbins with two B's, D-O-B-B-I-N-S. So please, please follow this talented comic. You just opened for Kamau Bell, who's got this great extension of his show. It's going to go to five nights a week in September on FXX. He's been on FX.
I loved opening for him. That was a great, great experience.
At the Stageworks on Valencia, I mean, he's been a Bay Area fixture for so long.
Absolutely.
And then all of a sudden, boom, he does his solo show, and Chris Rock sees it in New York, and boom, he's got a TV show, and he's sort of being...
In New York.
We've got a wonderful Janine Brito, a lesbian writer.
Absolutely.
Lesbian comic writer. She's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just got this great staff of people doing... It's kind of like the Black Daily Show. But the funniest thing he does is where he goes out and talks to people on the street, which is sort of Jay Leno-ish.
I love that, yeah.
And sort of Daily Show-ish, but with a whole... very black slant, you know, like really funny questions.
Yeah. And then the answers he get is like, you can't write that stuff.
You can't.
It's so funny.
It's so funny. And so you opened for him at Stageworks. And are you opening him? That was it, just those two nights, right?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And
that was great to see you.
And we raised a lot of money for Stageworks. So
yeah,
that was
very cool. And so, you know, in terms of keep on keeping on, Do you travel much with your comedy, or do you mostly Bay Area gigs because you have a day job and you have a daughter?
Right. I mostly do Bay Area gigs. You know, I've done a couple of shows in L.A., the L.A. area. I'm going to Oregon on May 29th. I want to try to
get... What are you doing in Oregon? Where, in Portland?
Yeah, I'll be at a casino. Of course, the name escapes me now.
Outside Portland somewhere?
Yes. Yes.
At a casino, huh?
Yes. So we'll see how that goes.
Who are you performing with? Or
Jabari Davis. We're driving up there and we're going to perform. And
couple, three shows? Or
two shows. And I hear there aren't a lot of black people in there, so in Oregon. Amy Miller told me that. So I'm looking forward to... We're going to make the percentage like shoot up when we arrive.
We're going to bring every black person in Oregon to come to this show, okay?
Like all six of them. We want you there at the casino.
There's more than six, but at the same time, you know, being an African American comedian talking about race and your act, it's good for white people too to see this and to hear you and talk about all these things. I mean, it helps bring consciousness to some, you know, the way you talk about it helps people, you know, grow and learn, I think.
Yeah, that was one of the key things that I learned from listening to Richard Pryor. Like in one of his interviews, he said, you know, you get them laughing, and then you slip the truth in. And, you know, that's as comics, like, that's what we try to do. It's like we put the truth in a way where
we
people
please
can
them.
Still, they please them, you can still laugh at it, but then afterwards you're going to think about it.
Yeah, and when you're laughing, you think about it. Your whole body's open. You're breathing. It's similar
Absolutely.
To exercise. It stimulates your endorphins, your pleasure centers, like
yes.
sex, like exercise, mm-hmm. like food. All those things get kicked in, and it opens your heart. It opens
yes.
your mind. It opens your body. Through your body, it opens you up. And so you're taking in something, and I think that's why comedy is so loved by so many people and in this country, even though it's kind of not as much on TV as it used to be. But it's certainly a YouTube phenomenon. People want that stand-up, and people do show up for stand-up gigs, stand-up shows, because they want that transformation. They want to feel transformed. They want to feel moved. And I think that's
Absolutely.
Part
and
of
I
what
think,
you're doing.
And I think it's, stand-up comedy isn't really valued the way it should be. I think because it takes so much work as
yes,
as an artist in the art form to be able to do that. And I don't think people really realize it.
Well, it's almost
and,
like...
You know, because... We get heckled, like most artists don't get heckled the way comics do. It's almost like they don't have a respect for what we do. But
well, there's alcohol involved, Corinda.
Yeah, that's too. But there's alcohol at every concert. Nobody's like yelling at Paul McCartney or Michael Jackson to, you know, get off the stage.
Well, they can't you know? Be heard with the sound system, but they can
Once
be heard in a 200-seat comedy room, right?
Yeah.
And so tell me, what are some of the worst heckled? Have you been heckled? Have you been tortured? Have you? Did you ever walk off stage and go, "Well, I sucked," or "I failed," or "I hate that person"? Or
I haven't. You know, I've been heckled in the weirdest ways. Like I had a gentleman to walk up to me while I was on stage and hand me a note. And when I opened the note, it asked me what's the difference between El Cerrito and Oakland, because I was in El Cerrito at the time, and he wanted me to expound upon that while I was on stage.
That's dumb. Again, you're dumb, and please sit down. And don't ever hand me a note again, and please stop coming to my shows.
Yeah, so that's I get heckled differently than most comics, probably.
But you know, have you dealt with any racism? I know Scott Capurro, when he started out back in the '90s, he got heckled. He not only got heckled; he had to be escorted out by the sheriffs over at Tommy T's in San Ramon.
I haven't had any racist
from homophobia
hecklers yet, so I need to probably brush up on some comebacks if I do.
Yeah, I have like stock
lines.
Yeah,
I haven't had that yet. So
I know Margaret Cho went through that too in the '90s. She went through some serious racism,
right?
When she was on stage, people said some nasty things to her, and she had some
I think probably when I start traveling outside of the places that you
outside
mentioned in
bubble.
Virginia and Alabama, and you know,
you're gonna go to Alabama, huh?
And I'm going to get to the South eventually, so I'm sure that, you know, my black, gay, you know, out woman status probably won't work as well for me in those places.
But let's bring it. How else is it going to change?
Absolutely. I mean, I definitely want to go everywhere. And whatever people have to say about who I am, I'm perfectly fine with that.
Well, you're one of the funniest comics I've worked with and performed with and met. And you just killed it at Kamau Bell's show at Stageworks. And your videos on YouTube, Corinda Dobbins with a K. Corinda Dobbins, go look it up. She's got 6 videos up there, and they're all killer. Really funny stuff.
They can also go to CorindaDobbins.com.
CorindaDobbins.com and Facebook Corinda Dobbins and Twitter Corinda Dobbins.
Absolutely.
And Tumblr. You've got a Tumblr page. You got it all set up. You got pretty good technology. I was pretty impressed
with
social
media now.
Going,
if you're a comic, you got to be on top of it. You got to have them all.
You got to have it together, right?
Yeah.
But you're doing it, and I'm really proud of you, and I'm happy to have you in the fold of the Outgay Comics since we started it 20-some years ago.
Thank you.
Way to go. Proud of you.
I'm proud to sort of carry on whatever legacy that I can. You know, I have so many. You know, I have the women's movement, the gay movement, the black movement. You know, I've got a lot. Teenager movement, like I got a lot of flags that I have to raise.
Fine. You're strong. You're strong. Thank you so much.
These shoulders were built to carry it.
You're wonderful. Thank you
Thank
for being
you so
with
much,
me.
Marilyn, you for bet. Having me.
Berkeley Arts, April 6th. The Layover in Downtown Oakland, April 9th. Corinda Dobbins, my guest here on Out in the Bay, CorindaDobbins.com. You've been listening to Out in the Bay. It's a weekly show about gay life from San Francisco. It streams and is on the air every Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific, and then we archive it for podcasting at OutinTheBay.com. Check it out. Check out our website. We've got all kinds of best of stuff up there that's really fun. Ang Lee, Sylvester, John Waters. You can just get us on your phone, too. Just go to OutinTheBay.com. Download the Stitcher app. Come on, do it, and then make a donation. We rely on it. We need it. It's tax deductible. It's public radio, people. It keeps us on the air. Doing that, keeping us on the air, is the Bar Association of San Francisco's Lawyer Referral and Information Service, supporting us in part, providing legal referrals to over 100 areas of the law, including those most relevant to the LGBT community. Information online at sfbar.org, LRIS. That's sfbar.org, LRIS, or at 415-989-1616, 415-989-1616. So write me with your comments, Marilyn, at outinthebay.com, or Eric, at outinthebay.com. Thanks to the staff and management of KALW, Joanne Marr is our engineer. Out of the Bay is produced by Eric Jansen and me. I'm Marilyn Pittman. Thanks for joining me.